Yo.
All right. It's Fairfield County Live and Local. We're presented by the Sono Collection. I'm hanging out with my man Pete Francis and our special surprise guest, J Swag General, John Shake himself. But we are here to talk about not one, but two EPs coming from Pete Francis, one of which is out right now, the other of which will be released tomorrow. Pete, you are my first ever guest on the show, and it feels good to have you back, man. How you been?
John, thank you. I love being on your show. Very welcoming. Been well, and really excited to release this new music. These songs have been kind of in the works for like 5 years. So I also call it the slamdemic, not just the pandemic, the slamdemic.
Right.
So, you know, within that, I kind of felt like going in and working on these tunes gave me something to do every day. And so it's kind of cool to bring the songs to light. It was a lot of material. And what I decided is that I think there was something that was a little bit more kind of mellow. And that's the right. Humble Down EP. And then the EP called Sunfuzz is it's sort of in the funk rock. You know, I mean, some of my favorite bands are Funkadelic, Jimi Hendrix, and all of the bands he had. But then also some, you know, Tribe Called Quest and all of the beautiful rap. And working with Mr. John Shake right here, who puts on his cape and puts the J Swag General. And he's right. He flies from different neighborhoods and he's always around to help out. But in all seriousness, it was cool to collaborate with John on a track called And the World Goes On.
I'm so surprised to hear that these songs have been in the works for as long as they have, because, you know, just to give people watching just a little bit of perspective. So you have the two EPs, like you mentioned. You've got the one which is Humble Down, which is out right now. And then, of course, the one coming out tomorrow, the more upbeat one that you just mentioned, Sunfuzz. But now the reason I'm surprised that these songs were written or have been in the process for the last 5 years, I look at an EP that comes out during or post 2020, but, you know, in the aftermath of everything that just happened in the last year, I see an album called Humble Down. And I think to myself, okay, well, that's got some pandemic, you know, influences and references in it. And then with Sunfuzz, the single that you guys are talking about that features J Swag is World Goes On. So from an outsider's perspective, I'm thinking, okay, this is like total, like you said, you know, slamdemic, you know, creative process coming out. But these are actually older tunes. Can you describe just the early phases of writing this music?
Well, it's kind of, I guess, some of these songs were just, you know, in my studio and I'm working on a project. I'll have some musicians come over and we tracked it and we put some stuff down. But there's so many processes that go into making a work of art. It's like, like in pottery, right? You make I'm not a potter, but I would imagine you make
potter. Then,
neither am I. So you can say whatever you want. I'll have no idea if you're right.
Well, my kiln, I got at Home Depot. But no, that, you know, then you put it in the kiln and it hardens. And then, so with these songs, I feel like they go through a lot of transformations. Right. So with some of this stuff, you get it. I work with a friend of mine named Randy Funk, and we worked on mixing it. And, you know, I think the layperson in music hears these terms, engineer, mixing engineer, mastering engineer, but all of them are really, really important. Each step.
And very formative.
And they can honestly make or break a song sometimes, you know, so there are all these little tweaks. So working with a lot of people, and one of my favorite part of this process is collaborating with great people. I feel like great vibes make great music, you know?
Yes.
And then when it comes to And the World Goes On, it was funny. I put iPhone recordings in every day. and I had something and the world goes on. And I think Swaggy came over and we were talking about, he's like, I kind of like that hook. And then he had some words. So there's an example of something of an older iPhone recording.
Yeah.
Jay Swag hears. We talk about lyrics and Swag, maybe we should just talk a little bit about how the lyrics for this track were developed. I think in some ways I say, okay, well, what does John Shake have to say? How's he going to write versus Jay Swag General? And I think it's funny how as performers and artists, we put on personas like I could be Pete Francis, a dispatch or a,
yes,
be, you know, whoever, Pete or whatever. And so I said, okay, Swag, who's John Shake?
Hold on, Swag, because I want to hear you answer this. Swag, do you remember me asking you this exact same question in your interview? I love this. I love this question. I love this
similar
idea.
Similar line questioning, yes,
of,
I do
of
remember.
Of the different personas that all performers have to put on. And I love hearing it in this context. Pete, I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm sorry. Swag, continue, brother. Keep going, because I want to hear what John Shake thought about this music, too.
Well, John Shake is Jay Swag, as we all know, or at least some people are now knowing. But Pete was, you know, he's like, I love the Jay Swag, you know, but what would John Shake write? And so I, you know, was listening to, and the you know, and he just strummed on the guitar, world goes on, and the hook just came to me like that. And then I was like, well, I got to get verses about that. And it was really about me growing up and battling OCD as a child and then into adulthood, you know, through college and all that, and, you know, really battling, you know, mental health issues that I've dealt with the far majority of my life at this point. And so it was really an outlet for me where I could talk about that, because I don't think, you know, it's getting better, you know, the stigma of mental health discussions, but it's
never
not
fast enough, but yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, the odds of us, creative individual having these types of issues is pretty much pretty high.
Very high. Very high.
So it was, you know, it was great for Pete to kind of light that fire. And then the words just flowed, you know, and
yeah,
you know, I can't thank him enough for that.
John Kamal.
Yes, sir.
When I got the email from John, and the lyrics he wrote, they were really profound. And I think we should just touch a little bit on mental health issues, because I've dealt with it very serious too. And I have terrible OCD, and I've dealt with it my whole life. And for me and Swag to relate and be real about this, I don't know, man. It's, you know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I think it's cool to talk about it because I hope people can realize the mental health issue can be their superpower as much as it can be a hindrance.
That's and well I think
if you're friends with people with mental illness, you know, it's a very, very serious thing. And to be supportive and to help this, you know, come from out of the shadow and see the light that so many people with mental illness have. So that's just to be very real about it. You know, Swag and I are kind of different musicians, but I think we became friends because we just realized we're cut from the same cloth. We're friends. And that's part of the beautiful part of being with musicians, artists who you relate to. It doesn't really matter what genre it is, but, and then so when John Shake wrote me these lyrics about growing up, you know, and he says, OCD, yeah, had it rough. To me, that's kind of a gift, right? Because That's a friend saying it's been hard and not stigmatizing it and not saying, you know, mental illness, this is pretty, we don't want to get too into that, but I'd rather turn it around and say, this may be where a lot of light is.
It's your superpower. And I love the way that you describe that. You know, myself, I've dealt with a ton of anxiety issues in the past, particularly in my mid-20s. You know, and it takes you a while to not judge the feelings that you're having.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that's going to do is make it worse. You do have to, you know, I mean, whether it's, you know, I've never experienced symptoms of OCD, but like, you know, for me, I know, you know, my anxiety, learning to let it hit you and learning to just keep moving anyway. The strength that gives you when you're able to make peace with that is really, it's life affirming. And it gives you courage to go on and do the next thing in your life. Cause you're like, all right, well, I already dealt with that. I know how to deal with that. And that's some serious stuff. What else can I do? So using art, using music, as not only a catharsis, but also as an expression of the strength that can give you. I love that. I love the entire meaning behind that, dude. And I'm so glad you brought that up too, because it is Mental Health Awareness Month. And then
John, for you to say something as a radio host, I deal with anxiety. I think we can get out from underneath the shadow of this and say, within artists, sure, and it's present. There are a lot of people on the street with it. And I think we need, as a society and people, to work together to lift each other up through this, you know? And I think through art and music, it's such a great way to do it. And the funny thing is, when I think people hear a song, they want to identify with the struggle. Yeah. They want to say, I hear myself in that. And I know from growing up or hearing a Joni Mitchell song or, you know, I can't even think of whatever, Pearl Jam or something. There's some of you feel like, I feel a part of that, you know?
I've been listening to a lot of Rage Against the Machine recently. Rage Against the Machine.
They're an amazing band. I think I wonder because there's so much rage in the world.
Yeah.
And what I love about Rage Against the Machine is they're expressing rage through art, through music. And I was at a concert of theirs, man. I thought we were all on a rocket flying through space.
I still haven't gone. I can't wait, though. I'm going. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what money it costs. Because I think what's been speaking to me about it a lot is a feeling we haven't had a lot in the last year, which is empowerment. It's empowering music, you know, overcoming mental health struggles. That's an empowering feeling. These are feelings we have not had in a year where we have been powerless, where a global situation has inserted itself onto us without any input from us, without any ability to affect that change, other than just, you know, just sitting there by ourselves. So I think I love that idea of empowerment in music. And I think we're going to hear a lot of tunes like that coming out in the aftermath of this. And I should note, by the way, we're talking about heavy subjects. This is a fun EP. This is a really fun EP, dude.
Wasn't Jimi Hendrix singing about manic depression? But
right,
he's the biggest badass.
I mean, come on.
I mean, does it get cooler than the Lord Jimmy? Not really.
That's right. Well, you referenced earlier with Sun Fuzz that there was a lot of obvious funkadelic references in there. A ton of funk. You hear brass. You hear hear a lot of meters for sure. You hear a lot of psychedelia. You hear that, you know, that Gypsy Sun and Rainbows influence come out in there. But then you contrast it with its sister album. I guess I can call it that probably, right? Humble like Down, that. Maybe?
Moon and Moon and maybe Humble Down's the Moon.
Right. Okay. Yeah. The Moon and the Sun.
There I see. The Moon and the Sun. I see what you did there.
It's companion piece. So you released Humble Down. Was it 2 months ago now? Actually, or has it just been 1 month?
Just 1 month. Yeah.
Just 1 month. A month ago. And now it's a month later and you're releasing Sun Fuzz. These two EPs are so different from each other stylistically. Obviously, they're both written by you. They both have your voice. They both have your sound for those of us that are familiar with, you know, with the way you write. But stylistically, they're so different. And I love the choice to make this two separate EPs instead of just one album of like, well, I'm Pete Francis, so I'll just it's a Pete Francis album and I'll have a fast song and a slow song and a fun song and a sad song. What describe for me the decision process of splitting these two EPs up?
Months and months and months of
really?
I thought exactly what you're saying. I'm Pete Francis. I got all this musical influence, man. I'm gonna
just put it all out, right? Because if I made it, then it's me. So who cares?
Some people would come into my studio and they'd be like, you know, like it wasn't holding them.
Yeah.
So it took a lot of experimentation, really. You know, I think. In art, I think one of the most exciting things are really huge contrasts.
You know,
when we think about music, and you mentioned Rage, think of when Zach and it gets quiet.
That's when he's at his deadliest. Yeah. Right.
So there's something to learn about that. I'm teaching a songwriting class right now at Middlebury College over Zoom. And we talk about that, about the how something can strip down to maybe a voice and acoustic guitar, because the audience, we all want that. The danger sometimes you go to concerts and it's like one level.
Yeah.
I like when stuff is. So I guess I sort of felt like Humble Down and Sun Fuzz could be that for me, to be maybe on peaceful and introspective, but I need to really get down, you know, and play it loud.
Yeah.
You know, and I just like both.
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, that's one of the tenets of music, right? Is dynamics, you know, you gotta bring it down, but then you also have to get loud, and you just decided to do both. It's so cool. I mean, so did you go into a mode where you wrote slow songs for a while and then you wrote more upbeat Sun Fuzz tunes? Was there a Humble Down period where you were writing in that voice, in that energy a lot? Or did it go back and forth?
My wife Katie sings a lot on Humble Down, and I think as a person, she came into my life and sort of humbled me down. And maybe I felt like, okay, here's someone, how do I learn to love and live with someone? And I think she was like, you got to work on it. You know, you got to. And so Humble Down is about, I think, I mean, love and how humility plays into love. I think in this society, coming out of the Trump era and of people being like forcefully telling everyone that, you know, and this ego is bursting. And I don't know. It's like, it doesn't work that way.
A lot of energy, a lot of volume.
It doesn't
work. A lot of volume.
Like you just said it, dynamics. Communication to me is more interesting, and listening is more interesting than blabbing or too much blabbing.
Yes.
Yeah. So I see that in myself. I see it in our culture. And I wanted to explore that. My friend Andy wrote these lyrics to Humble Down. And just the fact that he wrote them 5 years ago and the way it applies now. Because I think in all of us, there's that moment you want to just be boisterous and loud. And I want to be right. Right. I'm right, you know?
Right.
But then it's like, do you want to be right or do you want to be in a relationship?
Oh, I like that. I like that. I haven't heard that as the end of the limerick before. Yeah, that's well said. I mean, again, I'm so surprised to hear that, like you said, those lyrics came from a time so long ago, because I heard Humble Down and I immediately thought of, and I, my mind went to Lockdown. That was where I went, you know, when I get too tired of wearing a crown, I do something, and then yeah. I humble down. I don't have it 100% memorized yet. But I was like, yep.
Well, I mean, let's just relate to it in the sense of like,
because that's what we had to do, right? As collectively as a society, we had to be like, okay, I guess our little lives and all the things that we do are just not so important. Now we got to just focus on how do I get my money? How do I take care of my family? How do I stay healthy?
Yeah. I think art and music that way is interesting, how things can be written and then applied later on,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a simplicity to the lyrics. It's almost like a children's rhyme in a way. My friend, I interviewed my good friend Drew Angus last week, and he has a new song out called Made to Love You. And it's the same thing, follows a very simple plan. You know, planes were made to fly. Flowers are made to bloom. You know, I was made to love you. Humble Down follows that same very simple idea, but it's so universal. It's one of those moments where you could have sworn you've heard it before, but you haven't, or at least not just that way.
Yeah.
At least not just that way. There's a question in here somewhere, but I think I'm just waxing poetic about your song right now. You know? Pete, it's what I think I'm doing. I had a question to ask and I lost it entirely.
Oh, it'll come back. It'll come back.
I do. I dig this.
Thank you, man. I
dig this music that you put out.
It's always humility is a deep thing. And we all kind of, in the end, we go, oh, we're more alike than we are different.
Yeah. It's not the heat, it's the humility.
There you go. But how is the energy different for you for Sunfuzz? Because we talked about, you know, some of the inspiration behind some of the lyrics coming from a dark place. But the music is joyous. The music is celebratory.
I just think that range of emotions is kind of inside me, where I feel that even kind of being silly or joyous can coincide with even rage or really just frustration. So I'm trying to think, like, you know, you can't tame a lion when you let him out of his cage. That's another interesting phrase about sort of dealing with the, you know, there's this great song, what's his name, Nick, The Beast in Me. Do you know that song?
That sounds familiar.
Check it out, if you, if The Beast in Me. But it's kind of like, I've seen the beast dressed out in my clothes, you know. So like, there's this within me or us, there's that kind of lion. And I think sometimes I'm looking at different forms of energy, you know, and like this sort of lion energy, and how do we in this human life sort of deal with it?
I love that. The lion energy. It's just because it's so funny, but it comes through almost in the album artwork. And by the way, I just had to pull up this comment from Christian. And I also have, I also have that signed copy of Belong to the Band up in the Fox studio. That's still up there, man. That's still up there.
No, I mean, you know, like, Love Me in the Morning. These are,
yeah.
I mean, I think, I know we're into the emotional, mental ideas, but a lot of it, I do want to talk about, you know, Hendrix, Clapton, Meters, Funkadelic, you know, some of the rap that, and I love to talk to Swag about what he was thinking about, because I love Swag's approach. Just a young mind growing up, OCD, yeah, made it rough. Like, a lot of the lines rang true, and the world goes on. Like, we deal with this, and then you said, John, you're saying, well, I deal with anxiety, but then when I said, I know it's there, but I'm going to keep going. And right. I think, and the world goes on, is if this recognition of how can some of these, the pandemic that just, you know, swamped us, but yet we're still going on, and we're going to create new work and new ideas through it. And I guess always that idea of how does a major health epidemic or something so terrible, what grows out of that?
Right.
Yeah, and the darkness comes light.
And the darkness, yeah. This is a very common human theme.
Yeah. Well, and it's one that I don't think any of us expected to deal with on this level. But now that it is kind of coming out, I mean, what are you guys thinking in terms of live shows? Have you gotten out there at all since things have started to open up?
I have a few dates this summer, and nice. You know, something in, there's a place, John, I don't know if you heard of The Village in Stamford. They're just starting to put some stuff on. Cisco Brewery's involved. June 12th, there's a gig in Stamford. Hopefully Swag is around, will come out.
I'll be there.
You know, I think we're trying to be thoughtful about shows. And I guess that's the way it's going to have to be, because we don't know exactly how music will unfold. I think people are dying to celebrate, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested to be like, how do people celebrate from this?
Well, there's that impulse to just say, okay, I'm good. I'm, you know, I got my vaccine, whatever, or like everybody else has their vaccine. If you're not into getting the, you know, however you feel about it, I got mine. You know, let's go party, let's go nuts, let's go, you know, but that's not exactly the right way to do it. There has to be a measure of caution. How do you guys feel about, how do you guys feel from a performer's standpoint about getting out there? Is it just, you know, is it just let me get any show I can? Or is there a certain...
I guess I'm taking a different approach of let me create the right shows that makes sense. And maybe, I don't know, there's so much information that's going out into the world right now. And I think I find it sometimes hard to distinguish what is what. What do I belong to? So, you know, Dragon Crest Collective is kind of my thing.
Yes.
With my wife, Katie, and Swag has been a part of it. And really, it's a music and art collective. And so we kind of want to put on shows where people care about art, care about music, care about the creative process. I have, as you know, with Dispatch, I've toured all over the U.S. And even before we started playing bigger venues, we just played a lot of house parties and a lot of that. And that's cool, but that's a lot of work. And it's kind of a younger man's game. So now that I'm in my 70s, you know.
Man.
That's what you look like if you eat your vegetables, kids. If you eat your vegetables, you'll be in your 70s and you'll look like Pete Francis.
I'm 73. I know.
No, but it's a grind. You know, and I remember you telling me about you know, all of those expeditions that you went on, you know, back in the Dispatch days, especially the early days. And even now that social media can reach anywhere in the entire world, doesn't matter. You still have to get out there. You still have to play.
Maybe it's a blessing. Maybe it's artists say, you know what? I am going to refine what I'm doing, and I'm going to go specifically to people that I'm wanted, as opposed to I'm going to throw something, a tiny little lure into the ocean
and just see what you catch.
And that, I don't know. I think artists, and maybe out of the pandemic too, people were like, enough of this. And I stand up for artists. I'm all about musicians and artists, and I've always been. Dispatch has been, we were about Napster. I went down to DC for that hearing. Chuck D, here's little me. Chuck D is like fist bumping me saying, yeah, Dispatch. I'm like,
I love that story.
What is happening?
Yeah, I mean, you guys were on that first wave of it.
This is before iTunes. This is before, I don't know, man. I'm way more into empowering artists than I think the business and some of the business monkeys just fuck a lot of stuff up.
Yeah.
You know, so sure. I want to put power into the artist's hands and for them to take control.
Right. Well, I mean, we live in such a, and I wanted to talk to you guys about this, you know, as we wind down, we live in such a great creative musical area. And Pete, we talked about this a little bit the last time you were on the show. But there is something special about Connecticut just in terms of the sheer volume of musical talent and creativity that's
I'm blown away.
You know, that's just concentrated is the word that I'm looking for in such a small area. Why do you think that is? What is it that makes the Connecticut music scene as strong as it is?
Everybody in the country knows New England is where it's at.
That is facts. That's big facts.
Okay, the rest of the
country. Real.
New England might just break off from the US and just start floating over to Europe or something, you know?
That's right. New York can come too.
I don't know. Connecticut, you know, I just think I'm not really sure I know why, but man, there are some really great musicians in Connecticut, not just musicians, engineers. And
yes. Yeah.
I think that we just, you know, it's not really a boisterous thing and braggadocious about it, but there's some like musicians that I quite frankly am blown away with. Some of the best that I've seen.
There's some killers out there.
It's going to be great. I think the Connecticut scene, I hope, just continues to grow. Maybe Stamford, you know, will turn into the Lower East Side. I don't know.
I feel like Stamford's on the verge of having some very fun things. I do. No, dude, I'm serious. There's some great bands coming out of Stamford that I've gotten the chance to interview. The Nuclear Heartbreak. I've had those guys on the show a couple of times. They're awesome. They're awesome.
They're
pros.
You know, we need a venue in Stamford. So that might be fun to see peeps that want to set up a venue.
That's what it's missing, man. It doesn't have a big one, and it doesn't really have a small one either. Like, it doesn't have a Wall Street Theater. It doesn't have an acoustic. It definitely doesn't have a Klein. And if you're going to go to a big show, the Capitol Theater is just another 20 minutes down the road. You know what I mean? So it's tough. It does get kind of, but there's a lot of great talent coming out of Stanford.
I could see.
Sorry, I totally went off on a Stanford tangent, but just I've interviewed so many cool bands from down there in the last year.
I'm seeing like the venue, and I'm hearing your voice, John, announcing the band coming on stage. So.
Yeah, you're damn right. That's right.
Now batting number That's two, right. Derek.
I mean, listen. If for no other reason than it gives me some other place that could possibly give me money. I love money.
when the sun fuzz, anybody who's listening, put that sun fuzz on,
please.
It up loud in the
please.
Car.
And this is on all streaming services.
Going, get your young mind going up.
Yeah,
come on,
yeah.
Come on. Give it a little, Johnny.
and now this is on all streaming services, correct? This is Spotify, iTunes, Bandcamp, all the good stuff.
Yep, all the good ones.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Any shows coming up? I know that Pete, you had mentioned a few. Swag, we got any FOH happening? What's happening with you? This
F-O-H.
Is the plug time. This is when we plug our stuff.
Yo, for real, real. FOH, we just released a new track with Big Mont. Called Grammy Family. It's going to be one of the tracks on the new EP, our fourth EP that we will have released in the last year alone. called Detox 2025, which is overall a homage to Dr. Dre, who has nothing to do with the album, but we just, you know, his influence in the hip hop game and whatnot. And, you know, I got some great lines in that. It's great tunes. We got, you know, people, we got Rakim's son on a track. I mean, it's bonkers.
That's great, bro. That's great.
So, you know, check out Dope Money Culture. I got that's my plug right there. You know, Mazel.
And I should mention too that if you want to get a listen to Humble Down and Sun Fuzz, both EPs from Pete Francis, we are going to be playing both of those Sunday night at 9 p.m. on 95.9 The Fox, back to back. We've got them both. You can hear them. If you like what you hear, go buy them, please and thank you. And Pete, you've been gracious enough to be my guest this evening.
Oh, John,
give us the last word. What's the last word?
Well, John Kamal is the man.
Oh.
Well, thank you, man. This is really fun. I think it's great when people talk about music, talk about art, talking about people coming together. This is the medicine that our world needs now. We need music. We need dancing. We need compassion. And we need love. Capital L, capital O, capital V, capital E.
Love.
That's the word right there. It's Fairfield County Live and Local. We're presented by the Sono Collection. Jay Swag General, Pete Francis, thank you, fellas. Stick around after I take us off the live. But for those of you watching at home, 95.9 The Fox this Sunday, Sun Fuzz and Humble Down, back to back. We'll see you then.
All night long.